They say the world can be hard, cruel, and ugly. Trust me, it gets worse if your hunger and thirst doesn't push you from position last place to first. Can't build a foundation without having feet in the dirt. So I put in the work, grind harder than most. I don't chase accolades of the living, I'm facing a ghost. That's what makes me the GOAT. Depending on who you ask, my brother, whatever task, got it covered like a mask. Guaranteed they can't see me at the open run, cause I cook competitors until they look well done. Don't act like you don't know where I hail from. I had to climb up out the trenches, sit on benches till my time had come. Don't be mad at the player, be mad at the game. Sneak dissing and hating, that's a flag on the play. Me falling off, huh, that'll be the day. I'm like Bolt in the race, leave the track flambé. It's the open run.
One for the money, two for the show. Come on, y'all. Let's rock this. And that's what we're going to do right here on a special edition of the Open Run with Will Strickland. That would be me, along with my special guest from Below the Hardwood, also a podcast on the Press Network. We are press.net. My man, Ryan Antonio Henry, a vested member of the BTH crew. What's up, Brian?
Good, man. I am doing well. Just over a week out, and I'm ready to see some real hoops this year. Real hoops, you know.
Less of that real COVID, hoops this year.
Less of the COVID stuff. Obviously, it's still around, but you know, it's looking a lot more promising than it was last year. Let's say that.
Well, let's hold out for the best. And when we're speaking about the best, most people will do the presumptive Brooklyn Nets versus Los Angeles Lakers in the finals. But we're going to give respect where it's due. Give the man behind the wheel some credit. My man Giannis Ugo LaTerrence Antetokounmpo. Now, his mom didn't call him that, but I did. So, and give the love to the Central Division champions and also the reigning and defending National Basketball Association champions, Milwaukee Bucks. Going to start with the Central Division as we go through every division in the Eastern Conference, the Central, the Atlantic, and, of course, the Southeast. Starting with the Central, the champs are here. And we're going to ask about certain surprises, things in this division, because there are some really quality teams. As a matter of fact, Ryan, what is your surprise for this division that is composed of teams like the Indiana Pacers, the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Detroit Pistons, the Indiana Pacers, and, of course, the Milwaukee Bucks?
So,
I'm sorry. I said Pacers twice, didn't I? You're the Chicago one. Bulls.
There you go.
And I got it.
Speaking of the Chicago Bulls, that's actually my surprise. I call this team chip on shoulder team. The reason why is you kind of have castaways. DeMar DeRozan, chip on shoulder ever since he left, or not left, but was traded from Toronto. You have Nikola Vucevic. I wouldn't say necessarily he has a chip on his shoulder, but he's been on a horrible Orlando Magic team. That basically the Bulls came in and committed robbery. They just went in and just grabbed him out. They rescued him, if you want to say, but maybe it's not rescuing anymore because they actually look promising. We'll get to that in the Southeast, but you have Caruso, who was again part of the massive
NBA champion.
The NBA champion, you have to put some respect on it. NBA champion, so maybe he doesn't have a chip, maybe he does, but the massive ship out of the Los Angeles Lakers. And then you have Lonzo Ball, who I believe is king chip on the shoulder. Since coming into this league has been, you know, kind of, they called him out on his shot. His dad put unrealistic expectations on him that he wasn't really necessarily able to
live up to. As the number two draft pick? Really?
As the number two draft pick, I don't think he was successfully able to live up to. And, of course, was a part of another massive overhaul from LeBron James, the pseudo GM. Oh, so I feel like that team is chip on the shoulder. And I feel like they're going to get their first playoff appearance in a long period of time. Do I think they're going to run the table in that conference? No.
We'll get to your win in a second.
Yeah, well, I feel like they're going to make some noise. The Bulls are not the same Bulls for the past decade that we've come to know. This is a different Bulls team, and there's a lot of people that want to show up, show out, and they will get into the playoffs.
They need to make sure that a guy who's eligible for a Supermax contract, and Zach LaVine, is taken care of.
Yep.
Again, we talk about core. If this is the core you're going to go with, they got rid of Lauri Markkanen. They made sure to bring in DeMar DeRozan. bring in Lonzo Ball, and I think his middle name is Anderson, just so you know. I'm freestyling. I could be wrong, but I doubt it. Who is, if I care about my craft and my career, and my name is not Ben Simmons, so I worked on my shot, was a person, it'd be Lonzo Ball, who's improved the way his shot looks, shot prep, and his attitude. And I'm going to reach here about a guy who played on a couple of teams with a high draft pick, lots of expectation coming out. People panned the Boston Celtics for picking him so early in the draft when they could have picked the great Hall of Famer Timothy Theodore Duncan. I'm talking about Chauncey Ray Billups. Lonzo Ball has an opportunity to become Chauncey Billups and find a home on his third team in the NBA. Wow. Chauncey Billups bounced around a little bit. He went from Boston to Toronto. Then when he got to Detroit, well, I think, did he go somewhere else before that? I'm off the top, but I think he went to Detroit third.
Yeah.
This is Lonzo Ball's third team. Chauncey Billups was his top four pick in the 97 draft, if I'm not mistaken.
That's big expectations because Chauncey, he's a leader.
Yeah, but you know what? I think that Lonzo Ball, you see this, when you watch some of the preseason games, we talk about some of the preseason games and the other previews that you should watch on BCH as we're going over the entire league each and every day this week. Hopefully you check them out and check us up, because if we say something wrong, call us out.
Call us out.
You probably won't find that. At any rate, Lonzo Ball started picking up the ball as the defender, 85 feet away from the basket. As a leader, as someone who wants to be like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to lend to the team. He understands his role. He understands this is Zach LaVine's team, that Vucci Man's got to eat, that DeMar has to eat. But what they do not have is a bunch of defense. Now, Vucci Man's a great offensive rebounder. Defensively, not so much. And that's where you're going to have a guy like Patrick Williams going into the second year in the league, who can be a utility guy like one of those. I'm not going to say Scottie Pippen, but I say Scottie Barnes before I say Scottie Pippen, because he can play like that. Patrick Williams out of Florida State is one of those guys. And I think that you get some contribution from Patrick Williams and Kobe White from North Carolina. You have the start of a solid core there. They just have to find some defensive rebounding and some defensive presence outside of Lonzo Ball and Patrick Williams, because you have a bunch of offensive guys, right? Zach LaVine is going to have to show a level of leadership he never had to show. This has been his team, but now, especially with the contract on the horizon, he has to show that he wants that role, or is he really a second or third banana? We'll find out.
Could be a part of the fraternity of loyal losers, maybe.
Nah, because he played on another team first. If he was here for X amount of years, we could say that. But yeah, we have to set a criteria for the Legion of Loyal Losers.
Yes.
I think that's LL or L3 or whatever it's called. Whatever you want to call it. It's a bunch of L's.
but I like the Bulls overall. And a lot of people still are a little bit iffy on them. But I still think they're going to make some noise.
I'm going to tell you who's my surprise team real quick. It's not the Chicago Bulls, but it is the Detroit Pistons. I'm a fan of Troy Weaver. I have a decent relationship with Coach Casey from the time in Toronto. And when we were doing this other program on another network, and to develop that and see him develop a program there. I mean, as much as you want to pan Casey in Toronto, the fact of the matter is, the culture change came under his reign. The winning culture came when Dwayne Casey came to town. The end. There's no disputing that. There's no dispute. Masai Ujiri is a big part of that. Troy Weaver is that same type of guy. I believe in what they're doing. I love what they did with Cade Cunningham, who is going to be an all-rookie team guy. I don't know if he's going to be a rookie of the year. A lot of expectations on him. I like what they have. You know, with Isaiah Stewart, he's going to be one of those guys who's going to learn a lot from Ben Wallace, who's now been made a part of the operations and player personnel group for both teams, both the Pistons and their new G League team, the Motor City Crews. So I like what they have there with those guys. And Sadiq Bey, to me, he's going to be one of those guys like Mikal Bridges, also a Villanova graduate, who is going to be a 3-and-D guy, but he's a glue guy for that team. I think he's going to be the adult in the room for a long time. And when you have that kind of foundation, you're going to find that fourth part and start to build your culture. So my surprise in this division is the Detroit Pistons. Shouts out to Saben Lee coming off the bench too. I like him.
So here's where I'm actually a little bit different. I feel if this team is not at least 500 by midseason, I think Casey's fired. Is that, I feel like he's under pressure right now. He's been there for a minute. And like I said, he brought the culture there.
Well, how long has he been there? You say he's been there for a minute. This is second, what is it, second season, third season? I think he's been there two seasons. Nick Nurse came in and became head coach of the Raptors in 2019.
Yeah.
Dwayne Casey got a job in 2019. This is third season in Detroit. You cannot build a program with all these young, unproven players. They have something going on there. And I think Troy Weaver is going to show some patience with Dwayne Casey because of what he did in Toronto.
Makes sense.
Again, he didn't have guys. Again, when you think about how long DeMar DeRozan was there, when you think about how long Kyle Lowry was there, when you have guys who had made it to the Western Conference Finals or Eastern Conference Finals in 2016 with no Kawhi Leonard. So they built up a program over 4 or 5 years before it got to the point where you could see it was untenable in Toronto. So they're going to give him a chance in Detroit. I want to see it come to fruition. I think Detroit is a team that is going to look a whole lot better with Cade Cunningham running the offense there.
Yeah, and they got picks. They got talent. And that's why I kind of felt maybe he's under hot seat if they're not meeting expectations at a certain point.
Come on. Don't be a reactionary guy. Don't be a prisoner of the moment. Give my man, you know what? And shouts out to Luka Garza, who I totally panned coming out of the draft. He was a National Player of the Year. He signed a full contract. They thought he was going to sign a two-way contract with the guys or with this team.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's not going to be off that bench. He's going to be a versatile and valuable player to that team. I don't see Kelly Olynyk playing the minutes he's going to play, even though he's a starter there now. But who's going to be the odd man out? I'm going to see how much Jeremy Grant can do leading these guys and being the guy who's like, oh, the shine is all on Cade. Can I play my position? Because I'm the guy who makes the most money of the team. Yeah. But Cade Cunningham is the focus. Can he find his role and still be as efficient and proficient as a player to help this team? I think the Olympic experience helped them out a lot, and that's going to help them in a leadership standpoint. But we're going to see it how it happens on a team that is, quote-unquote, his right now. So moving on to Cleveland. The Cleveland Cavaliers have too many big men. They went out and traded for Lauri Markkanen in the same division. Yeah, or picked him up. So you're telling me you went out and got a worse Kevin Love than Kevin Love?
I like that.
I mean, that's what Lauri Markkanen. Kevin Love is definitely, you know,
Hall of Fame talent. Border.
I didn't go there. He is a champion.
Yeah.
And I have to look at how many All-Star appearances he made, not only in Minnesota but also in Cleveland. But Kevin Love is a champion. So I can't totally diss him by calling Lauri Markkanen. He's a worse Kevin Love. Yes, we can say that.
Yeah. Okay.
He's a downgrade Kevin Love.
Yeah.
So you have a bunch. You have my 19th favorite player in the league in Taco Fall, who's on the bench there.
19th.
He's 19th. I'm just trying to tell you what it is.
Okay.
You know, you have Jarrett Allen, who John Collins wants his nuts back. Because he put them all on your neck on that alley-oop dunk this week. Oh, did you see that?
Well worth the contract.
Yeah, but he's there. They have another big there in the lineup for them. Oh, I'm sorry. They're number one. One of the number one picks, Evan Mobley, who's going to need the time. But you have Kevin Love, who plays the four. You have Lauri Markkanen, who plays the four. You have Evan Mobley. If you try to make him a three, Gabe Bickerstaff, I'm going to be mad at you.
Yeah. It's the land of trees.
So they have, it's a closet full of left shoes is really what it is.
Yeah.
And I don't see them doing anything unless they move some of those assets. I don't know that I have the confidence in Kobe Altman to make that happen, but we'll see. And I feel bad for JB, who's always been a good soldier anywhere he's been.
Yeah. the more things change, the more things stay the same, and that's what it's going to be for the Cavs.
Colin Sexton thinks he's a star. He's not.
No. No.
Ricky Rubio coming there? Great in the Olympics. I don't know about the NBA.
No. The team's not going to be worse, and they're not going to be greater than they were last season. Actually, if people remember, in the first start of the season, they actually were fighting for they were in the playoffs.
It's four games. Don't do that. Don't do that.
I remember the Knicks. It was back when people were looking at the schedule, and it's like the Knicks and the Cavs were actually in like that 4-5 spot. I'm like,
four games in.
But they were undefeated. The Knicks ended up staying. The Knicks actually ended up staying. The Knicks were the real surprise, but you know. But again, with the Cavs,
it's a mess. We know what it is, yeah. And if it gets cleaned up, I'd be surprised. But let's move on to Indiana. And the Pacers, I'm very intrigued with this team. I am.
Okay.
Rick Carlisle is a championship coach. Malcolm Brogdon is a very solid point guard. TJ Warren is coming back from injury. With no Nate Bjorkman on the bench, has the opportunity to be sixth man of the year in the NBA this year. He's not going to start for them. Domantas Sabonis, and retaining your guy from Texas, Miles Turner. You still have a top defensive player in the league on the front, on the front line. You have a backcourt guy in Malcolm Brogdon, one of the best defenders on the perimeter. You're going to have scoring because you have Caris LeVert coming back from injury. And you have Rick Carlisle, who will figure out how to make all those pieces work. But remember one name, Chris Duarte, our Oregon State, he's the oldest member of the rookie class this year. He's experienced. I like what he did in Oregon in the NCAAs this past year. I think he's going to be a good fit for them. And he will be Malcolm Brogdon insurance in the event they try to move him for someone like a Ben Simmons.
Okay. I don't hate it. the only thing I will say is that I feel like this is another more of the same team. They're not going to be up. They're not going to be down. I just feel like this roster is great
to compete.
Sabonis is an all-star. Mm-hmm. He made his first all-star team.
He'll make another one this year.
Okay. I like that too. And obviously with Karis, shout out to Karis because he had a rough year. It wasn't really an injury. It was
the kidney. He had the kidney situation. Now his back, he had the spinal situation. Like it's tough on him.
Yeah. It was a good story to hear that the Pacers didn't want to reject the trade, even though they could, because it wasn't known during the time. So they kept him in play and he is happy with that front office. So I feel like he's going to come out ready to play and be a solid player from them. But I just feel you look at the Eastern Conference elite, you look at the Bucks, the Nets, the Sixers, the Hawks, and the Knicks.
They're lower middle tier, no doubt.
Yeah, there's not a lot of room.
The Charlotte Hornets and those guys.
Exactly. There's not a lot of room to really improve upon what they did. They might, but I just feel like you're going to get
the energy you put out is what you'll get. And I think that Nick Bjorken came with a certain attitude and a certain reputation that Rick Carlisle does not come with. Rick Carlisle comes with rings. And so with that, I think that's going to change the attitude in that locker room. I think he's going to be way more creative offensively with this team.
Yeah,
allow these guys to do a little bit more of what they can do. So are they going to win the division? Absolutely not. But they will compete in the East. And, of course, let's move on to the champion, Milwaukee Bucks, who still have arguably the most accomplished 26-year-old in NBA history.
True.
The arguably this. Two-time MVP.
Yep.
NBA champion, finals MVP.
Yep.
Most improved player of the year, defensive player of the year, NBA All-Star game MVP. I mean, multiple all NBA teams, multiple All-Star games, and he's 26. That means he's not in his physical prime yet.
No, it's nuts.
It's
nuts.
For the most part, between the ages of 27 and 32. That is kind of the median. There are some outliers. He's 26 years old. That's the scary part.
A good 12, 10, 12 years left.
And if he decides that his game six performance in the finals has bolstered what he can do from the line, and he shoots 75% from the line, it's a problem for the rest of the league, period. It's done for a lot of people. It's going to be a problem because he's strong enough to create his own. He still needs a consistent mid-range jumper, but he's been working on it. And if that happens, he can stretch out to be at least competent, 33% from three.
That three-point shot's only going to get better.
You have a problem.
Yeah.
Milwaukee, I actually have a surprise on their team. It's a player by the name of Sandro. I'm going to say his name, Mamu Keslavili. I tried it off the top.
Yeah.
Played at Seton Hall.
Okay.
I like his energy off the bench. I think he and Bobby Portis are going to be the backup four and five on that team. They're going to be great for them because they're going to lose out with no Anthony Leon Tucker. They're going to lose out with no him not being in the lineup and being in Miami right now.
He's 22.
Right?
He had 20 and 11 in his first preseason game.
Watch the highlights, but I watched him when he was at Seton Hall too.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be a quality addition to that front line because they're going to be big, but he also plays outside. He has enough ability to move his feet, and that's what you need. If you're going to play big in the NBA, you have to have bigs with mobility to do the job. And I think that they're going to miss a lot from P.J. Tucker, so this is going to be a lot on the big Ragu.
Hey,
Dante.
6'9", 240?
I'm talking about, like, who's going to have to pick up for P.J. Tucker?
Yeah.
Is my man. The big Ragu. The Michael Jordan of Delaware. White Dante. Dante DiVincenzo. Not to mean White Dante's. It's spelled like that. D-O-N-T-E. He's coming back from the ankle injury. And he's going to have to pick up where PJ left off.
Yeah.
And but they're going to win this division easily.
He wasn't there to really, you know, not to say that injured players that don't play in the final have a chip, but I feel like they want to come back and
contribute. You
know, yeah, they do. So I feel
that's like OG Anunoby.
Yeah, 100%. 50 piece nugget. that's my nickname for it because, yeah, the first thing he did post celebration is went to
Chick-fil-A
and got the 50 piece where his person taking his order had no idea she was speaking to an NBA champion less than 24 hours out. That team, here's the difference. I'm used to seeing championship hangovers, aka the Miami Heat of 2006, just fall flat on your face and just it's bad. And we see that a lot. The championship team usually in some cases usually doesn't have the greatest season the next year. Even my Mavs in 2011, flat on your face, 2012. I don't think that's happening with the Milwaukee Bucks.
No, I can't see that. But there is a thing called the disease of more by Pat Riley.
Oh, okay.
Where the guys win championships, they want more endorsements, they want more money, they want more time in the court, and they want to be the rock stars that they became during the climb to the finals. Bill Russell always said the hardest final, and you know, the man, the Lord of the Rings, won more than anyone else.
Yeah.
Said, the easiest one was the first one, even though that was hard. The hardest one is to keep people motivated to win two, much less 11. Imagine keeping people motivated for that long. Man. And now with all the distractions we have now, accessibility we have now, imagine trying to keep these guys who all want to be IG stars and they want to do their own talk shows and all this other stuff, keeping them in the fold. But I think in Milwaukee, like you said, I think the leadership is going to show off. And again, the consistency of James, Christian, Middleton.
Oh, three
and guys. Giannis Antetokounmpo. And of course, Drew Randle Holiday. Let's be clear.
Yeah.
Those guys are the culture there. They are the attitude there. I think everyone's going to fall in place and follow the lead. They're going to win the division easily.
And that's why I don't think that hangover is going to happen. But those three guys, their mentals are – I love it. Drew Holiday is an amazing human being for what he does off the court and bringing that into Milwaukee with Giannis, who also has had hardships just getting into the league, getting to school every day, getting his story in Greece and just getting over to Greece is enough for me to say that his mentality of just continuing this style of winning and this championship pedigree into next season, along with Drew, along with Middleton, who I feel like Middleton, you know, he still gets his shots as not being the true B player or the Batman. I feel like that's still his motivation. And I feel like they're going to be at the top of the East regardless.
Yeah, because he came from the G League, and a lot of people feel like, oh, if you go to G League, it's a demotion. He found his footing in the G League. And then when he found his role, and he's been there with Giannis the whole time, again, culture.
Yeah.
And Giannis came in as a young cat. He was there. They grew up together with Milwaukee. So that's what Dame gets his inspiration from. It's not the same thing, Dame, just to let you know. But Milwaukee wins this division easily. I can't conceive that you would ever even try to be a contrarian and say something opposite of that in this division.
Nope.
So with that said, we're going to move on to the next division. We're going to go over to the – you know what? I'm going to leave the Atlantic for the end, and we're going over to the Southeast. Talk about those guys. See who's ruling the roost down there. So as I said before, you can find both podcasts on wearepress.net. On the Press Network, you can find BTH, Below the Hardwood, with Brian Antonio Henry. Of course, Alan Shane Lewis and Dexter Areola. And of course, you can find The Open Run with Will Strickland on these rough interweb streets across all streaming platforms where podcasts can be found. Until then, be easy.